Hello, welcome to the Friday, August 7th, 2015 edition of the SAN Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Boston, Massachusetts. DDE has written lately quite a bit about VirusTotal. Now, VirusTotal is a service that typically you use online. You either upload binaries to their website or use their API. DDE now has a new little tool that you can use in order to take advantage of VirusTotal while offline. What the tool essentially does is it calculates the necessary hashes on the system, and then you can take those hashes to a system that's online and then check the hashes against VirusTotal later. Interesting little tool if you have a more isolated network. Of course, you still need to get those hashes out of that network to a system that's connected to the internet. And then we got more car hacking news. This time it's Tesla Model S. Now, this car does actually have an Ethernet network, and that Ethernet network, while it's not easily accessible, can be accessed by essentially just hardwiring a connector into a cable behind the control panel. That of course requires some disassembly, soldering and such. With a connection like this, it's then possible to gain access to the car and essentially control it with a laptop. Now, that's not really a big issue, maybe sort of similar to hot wiring a traditional car. The real problem here is that the infotainment system that the attackers then have access to does have a number of vulnerabilities, including some four-year-old WebKit vulnerabilities in the browser used by the infotainment system. An attacker could, for example, also get root access and with that leave more persistent malware behind. Some of these vulnerabilities have already been addressed by Tesla, and an update has been published. And then we got new attacks against electronic car door openers, even some of the more sophisticated ones. Essentially, what they do is they have a sort of a random sequence of codes that they are sending to the car door. Now, the problem is, of course, that not all of these codes are received. So if you press your garage door opener while out of range, it's also possible to essentially use not only the next, but also some future codes to open the garage, a little bit like, you know, RSA IDs and such are working for one-time passwords. To exploit this, there is now a new little hardware device that essentially jams the connection between the key fob and the garage door, and it records the code that is generated by the key fob. The user now will, of course, just press the button again, in which case this device again jams the connection, but it does send the first code it received and stores the second code that's now being sent by the key fob for future use. With that, the attacker now got hold of a valid code that will be valid for as long as the regular user doesn't legitimately open the car the garage door again. Interesting little trick, also works with cars of many different brands, so it's not just a garage door opener trick. As a countermeasure, at least one of the garage door opener manufacturers did add a time component where these codes are only valid for a limited amount of time, so an attacker would have to use the code before it expires. And Checkpoint today released interesting details about a new vulnerability in Android, which they are calling CertifiGate. Now, the problem here is mobile remote support tools. These are the tools that OEMs typically include with the phone in order to be able to remotely support it. Now, in order to make sure that only valid tools do have access to these privileges, certificates are used, and of course, certificate validation is often flawed. In this particular case in Android, there is a plugin that comes with the phone that validates the applications that the user may download in order to provide this remote support capability. Now, the plugin in one case, for example, only checks the certificate's serial number, and it is pretty easy to create another certificate with the same serial number. Overall, the problem here is just how these certificates are being validated. The problem with patching this flaw is that the plugin that was delivered with the phone, which is sometimes specific to certain OEMs or even carriers, has to be updated. Also, the tools that are being provided by these vendors for later download have to be updated. So this is not just a quick update of the core Android operating system. No real patch in sight for that at this point, so just guess, be careful with what applications you download and where you download them from. This is it for today. Thanks for listening. Thanks to ThreatStop for supporting this podcast. Talk to you again on Monday. Bye.